this morning.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I got a message for you from the Lord, and it's very timely. It's very timely for the days and age in which we live, because how many of you believe we're living in the last days?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It don't take a rocket scientist spiritually to look around and see that the time is drawing to a close.
Amen.
Amen. And church, we better be ready. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's be no excuse for us. We'll not be able to stand before Him and say, Lord, I did not know. That old pastor where I was going to church, he did not tell me it was getting close to your appearing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to be telling you today, it's close, and there's things that we've got to watch out for. Amen. We got to be careful of the wiles of the devil who would love to come and steal your crown. Don't you give it to him. Jesus paid the price for that crown. It belongs to you because he gave it to you. Don't let the devil steal it from you. Hallelujah. Do you all love Jesus this morning? Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 2. We're going to read some verses in Luke chapter 2. And praise God, we're going to stay in Luke this morning. There's a reason for staying in Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 9, and I'm going to pull these two things together that we're going to read in Scripture. I believe the Lord wants you to see and know and understand that the story that when Jesus first came to the earth as a baby in a manger, when He first came, did you know that the same struggles, problems, situations, cares of life, they still come against you and me while He desires to come and dwell in the manger of our heart?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus this morning?
Amen.
Ooh, somebody shout.
Hallelujah.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
Amen.
And she brought forth her firstborn son. Amen. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
Amen.
And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Amen.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Woo, hallelujah. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 9. I'm going to begin reading in verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes,
Amen.
And birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head.
Amen.
And he said to another, Follow me.
Amen.
But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first, go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Would you pray with me? Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you would give us new depths of gratitude today for your holy, righteous word. I pray that you would open our eyes to see. I pray that you would open our ears to hear. And I pray that our hearts would be open, O Lord, to receive you and your headship in our lives. Not just today, but every day. Not in just what we hear today, but in every way that you reveal to us our need for more of your headship and righteousness in our lives. And Lord, we're so grateful and thankful that you love us, that you care for us. Oh Lord, and that you tell us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Touch us today, Lord, with your touch. Oh Lord, don't let us stay the same. Change us, oh God, from glory to glory. Oh, hallelujah. Help us, oh God, to be ready, watching and waiting for your appearing. And we give you the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, give him another shout of praise before
you
see him. Come on, give him praise. He's worthy of all praise. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory to
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. I will preach to you for a little while this morning. Three reasons why there is no place for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we've learned that the New Testament Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I have taught you these things before, but I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The New Testament Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John shows us a picture of the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And it comes from that Old Testament pattern that you find in the Old Testament tabernacle. It's a pattern of a never-changing God who is forever the same. His patterns from eternity past are patterns that we find in the Old Testament and are patterns that we see in the New Testament and patterns that He desires for us to have in our day. And those patterns will continue to be His patterns that He follows in eternities to come. Hallelujah. Are you glad that you serve a God who changes not?
Amen.
What his expectations were when he founded the church, Brother Johnny, I believe he still has those same expectations for the followers of Jesus today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe his commandment was for those who were going to follow him in that day would be to deny themselves and to take up their cross and to follow Jesus. And I believe he still has the same command for everyone who says, I will follow you, Lord. I will go whithersoever you go. Hallelujah. I believe he still says, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and begin to follow me. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you are grateful you heard Jesus, hallelujah, in your life tell you to come on, follow me, hallelujah. How many of you are still gloriously, happily, hallelujah, excitedly today following after Jesus Christ? That pattern still continues to speak to us today. And as we look at the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, remember, I believe the Lord was directing our attention to Luke today for a specific reason. You see, Luke speaks to us of the servant nature of Jesus. John speaks to us of the kingly nature of Jesus. Matthew speaks to us of the humanity side of Jesus. And Mark speaks to us of the divine nature of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I believe that there is no other. When the angels said, there is no other. What time, the Bible says, did he say to his angels, hey, you sit down here beside me until I cause your enemies to become your footstool. Oh no, there's only one. Only one begotten Son of God. And it was to him the Heavenly Father said, sit thou at my right hand until I cause all of your enemies to become your footstool. And I believe today that all the enemies of of the cross of Calvary, all the enemies of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ the righteous, all the enemies of the way, the truth, and the life. Someday they're going to be under the crucified heel of the Lamb of God. Every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. Will somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
How many of you already confessed with your tongue and bowed with your knee? Praise God, you ought to have great joy in your heart today. Hallelujah. Then that means you're already up under His heel. You're already up under His headship in your life. You're already submitting to Christ. You're already walking in the way. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Church, as we choose willingly to place ourselves again every day with Jesus under His feet and fellowship with His suffering so that we might be made conformable to His death. Hallelujah. So that the power of eternal life that is found in Christ Jesus and His blood will someday change this old mortal body. Hallelujah. When? At the last trump. Hallelujah. At the voice of God in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. We'll be made to be like Him. And that corruption, hallelujah, will put on incorruption. And this mortality will put on immortality. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Oh, I found it to be another beautiful expression of the Lord in the book of Luke. Not in the other Gospels. In the book of Luke, because the book of Luke, it shows us the humanity and the servant nature of Jesus Christ. It is only in the book of Luke that we find that Jesus was laid in a manger. When He was born of a virgin and wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. You see, a manger means a crib or a food bin for the oxen. It's a place where the oxen would place his head, and the oxen is a picture of the servant who is the burden bearer. And is not that what Jesus became for you and me? Hallelujah. The crib or the manger was not made of wood like we see in nativity scenes, but it was actually carved into the side of that limestone hillside. It was actually made out of stone, signifying that the authority of Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God Almighty, that He was the rock of ages that was prophesied about. He would be the rock that would be rejected by the religious of His day. He would be the one who'd become the head of the corner. He'd be that tried stone, that precious cornerstone. Hallelujah. The one upon whom you and I can stand when the winds and the waves hit against your spiritual house. If you're standing on Jesus, you're going to stand. Hallelujah. Oh, now wood does come later in the picture of Jesus' life, but I want us to continue to look at the manger scene for a moment. It is the place where the oxen placed his head to feed. Jesus is the picture of that servant nature of the oxen. When he stated to those that were around him, and he still calls out to you and me today, he says, "Come unto me, ye who are weak." How many of you are weak this morning? How many of you are heavy laden with cares of this life? Oh, how many of your cares of this life seem to have you burdened down? Oh, Jesus still calls out to us today like He did then. He says, "Come unto me, ye who are weak and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Somebody say hallelujah. You see, that yoke of the oxen was made out of wood. And Jesus in the manger, where the oxen placed his head for food, it was a picture that the mature Christ, as he grew up, how many of you are glad Jesus left the manger? How many of you are glad he didn't stay in the manger? Oh, hallelujah. He grew up. He followed the plan that his Father had for him. Oh, church, I believe Christ has a plan for you and I. And he wants us to grow up instead of being praising Christ forever. Why don't you go onward and upward with Jesus? Can somebody say hallelujah? Oh, come on. Can somebody say hallelujah? Oh, that picture of the mature Christ. It was a picture someday he would get out of that manger. He would grow up. He would begin to take up the yoke of the cross. Even at age 11, he told his mother, "I must be about my Father's business." Oh, couldn't wait for the day and the time. Oh, some people want to say that Jesus was scared to go to the cross. I'm here to remind you. He told Pilate, for this cause came I into the world. Oh, I can't wait to walk the way of the cross. I can't wait to get to Calvary and pay your price so that you might be saved and have life everlasting. Will somebody say hallelujah? Oh, it was a picture right there in the manger that Christ would take up the yoke of the cross and carry your burden and my burden, and in humility offer to take your load of guilt and sin and shame. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He took upon himself the form of that burden bearer, praise God. Oh, hallelujah, so that someday you might find him and his blood might wash over you and cause your sin to be washed away, to never be remembered against you anymore. Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God. How many of you are glad the blood of Jesus still washes away every sin stain? Woo, hallelujah. You know why the picture of baby Jesus is so cute? It's so precious. Hallelujah. Who can look at a baby and have an ill thought in their heart or in their mind? Oh, the picture of baby Jesus, it's so cute in that manger, in that little crib. It's not offensive to anyone. Many will talk about baby Jesus. Oh, but many will only stop there with Jesus in the manger and will never let him grow up and will never let him come out of the manger so that he might lead you and I to Calvary, where we can find salvation for our soul. Ooh, somebody say hallelujah. Church, if we don't allow the Spirit to make us grow up into the image of the Son of God, we are keeping Jesus in the manger of our lives. And your flesh will never be crucified with Christ. You'll never find your place at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. Why is Jesus telling you to take up your cross and follow him and deny yourself? Because he knows you've got some flesh that needs to be crucified. He knows you've got some stinking pride that needs to be nailed to Calvary's cross.
Yes, yes.
Woo, can somebody say amen or oh me? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Well, the final phase of God's eternal plan for the salvation of man was begun when the angels cried out, Emmanuel, God with us, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. It's not the manger scene that saves you. It's the Calvary's cross scene that brought salvation into the world.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah. You know what? Along with the nativity scenes, there ought to be a cross. Hallelujah. I said, you hear me, church? Along with the nativity scenes, there ought to be a cross. Oh, hallelujah. For he came to die. Ooh, praise the name of the Lord. He came to die. Oh, and Jesus is still looking for a manger of a heart to place his headship in. Hallelujah. And when the new man, Christ Jesus, is born in you, oh, he's wanting you to let him get out of the manger and go to the cross.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So when we get to Luke chapter 9, church, there's some things I want you to catch in here. I believe the Lord is drawing our attention to the three things that will cause those who really mean well. Three things in your life and in my life, if we're not careful, we're not going to keep a place where Jesus can lie his head down and place his headship and authority and his rule in our life, because there'll be too many other stuff going on in our life and there'll be no place in the end. Are you hearing me, church? Luke chapter 9, the other verses that I read to you. Again, it says, and it came to pass as they went in the way. How many of you are walking in the way this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, they weren't out of the way as they were walking in the way. Praise God. I believe when you're walking in the way, that there's going to be those who come to you and say, tell me more about this Jesus. Tell me about the one who came and lived, hallelujah, grew up so that he might die and take my place on Calvary's cross, so I might have his blood to wash away my sin, so that I might be made heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and be saved and have eternal life. I believe when you're walking in the way, you're going to hear those asking you those questions. Oh, I really want to follow the Lord. Oh, praise God, but I want to bring your attention to what Jesus said to him. Oh, this man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, and it's not in the scriptures, but I wonder sometimes if in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, if he did not look at that man and say, really, I'm going to Calvary. Are you willing to follow me there? Hallelujah. How many of you here this morning are saying, Jesus, I will follow you whithersoever you go, X? How many of you have the heart of that first man who said, Jesus, I want to follow you whithersoever you go, X? I can hear Jesus say, really, I'm going to Calvary. Hallelujah. Woo. And it is in the way, church. It is not out in the world. Listen to me. The word was written to the church. Can somebody say amen? Woo, you hand the Bible to a sinner, they might be able to read it. They might find God in it. Are you hearing me, church? Are you hearing me, church? Listen to me. They might find God when they're reading the scriptures. I pray they do. Oh, but the Bible tells us that unregenerated man, he does not understand the laws and the things in the mind of God, neither indeed can he. It's not subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can be. Why? You've got to have your mind renewed. You've got to hear the preaching of the Word of God. You've got to hear how that you sinned against God. And you've got to hear the remedy, which is Jesus, who came as a little babe, but who grew up to be a man to take your place and to die for you on Calvary's cross. You've got to hear the need of a Savior. You've got to recognize your life that has sin. You've got to recognize your need for Jesus and His blood. Somebody say hallelujah. It is in the way. Oh, that those who have these troubles, as Jesus was beginning to speak to those, it's those who are in the church who've got to be careful that they keep room in their inn for Jesus. Because if you never let Him start out, He can never lead you to Calvary's cross. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo. Jesus said to the next one, Lord, I'm willing, ready to follow you wherever you want to go. And I can, now as I've said, Jesus didn't say this in the scriptures, but I can hear through the Spirit, the really, I'm going to Calvary. Are you going to go all the way there with me? I also hear a similar verse where Peter was saying, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you even all the way to death. And God, oh, hallelujah, in His infinite mercy, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, looked at Peter and said, Peter, oh, the devil desires to sift you like wheat. Oh, but before, listen to me, before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to have denied me three times.
Come on, that's right.
Church, if we're not careful, sometimes our mouth gets far ahead of what we really actually do. Oh, listen, that's why you ought to let your words be few. For He is God in heaven, and you are on the earth. Hallelujah. His throne is in the heavens, and His earth is His footstool. And you're on the earth, and you ought to put yourself under the submissive, hallelujah, the will and crucified heel of Christ. If you're not there this morning, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, he said, listen, I'm going to Calvary. You going to come with me? But Jesus said to him this, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. I want to get you on the surface what he said. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, he said to this man, I've looked into the end of your heart. I've looked into your life. How many of you know he looks into the hearts of men? I've looked into your life. And you have many things going on in there. But there's no room in your heart for Jesus. You've got so many cares of life going on. There's no room in the end for me. And he said to another, church, this is while he's in the way. This is for those who are walking in the way, the truth, and the life. He's not talking to the sinner out there, because he mentioned these three things, and he's not talking about devils, he's not talking about spirits, he's not talking about the lust of the flesh, he's not talking about those things that people have to be drawn out of and delivered from to get in the way. Are you hearing me, church? He's talking about those who are in the way, those who are already hearing Him, those who follow Him and even sometimes say, I will go with you whithersoever you go, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
We got quiet.
And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You know what he was saying there? I used to read this and get confused. Brother Johnny, I used to think, well, what's the problem? If my daddy died, I'd want to take him and go to his funeral. I want to put him in the ground and say goodbye. What's the problem here? Have you ever wondered that? I wondered that when I was young and read that verse. Lord, what do you mean? What's wrong with this guy wanting to go bury his father? That's not what he's saying. He didn't say his father was dead. He said he wanted to go spend time with his father, live life, have all of his dreams fulfilled, and then put his father in the grave, and then he'd be ready to serve God.
Come on.
Are you hearing me, church? Too many times as believers, God is calling into our life things that He wants us to do. He is telling us that Jesus has been placed in the manger of our heart. And the next sin that we do is we never let Him grow up and take us to Calvary. We live our own life and have our own dreams. And we fixed it in our mind a certain time when we will bury that portion of our life. And then we will be free to serve God.
Ooh, somebody say amen on me.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you hearing me, church? Oh, it's in the way. It's in the way.
Come on, brother.
When you have these problems come against you. Oh, hallelujah. What he was really saying was, let me go and live my life. Let me spend time with my loved ones while they're still living. And then when they die and I bury them, I'll be ready then, Lord, to follow you. You see, the first man has so many things going on in his life. He has so many cares of this life that he didn't have a place for Jesus to even begin a relationship with him in a manger scene of his heart. The second one, he had time. He had a place, but he said, oh Lord, I'm going to put family ahead of you. I want to do what I want to do with my family. And then when my family's done and I'm done with my family, then I'm going to follow you. Uh-oh. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Then we get to the third one. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home in my house. Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me, church? Your goodbyes to the world isn't going back and having one last fling. Hallelujah. Your goodbyes to the world isn't living it up while you're still young and energetic and waiting until you get used up, burned up, worn out, and tired. And then you say, okay, God, I'm ready now. I'm ready to live my life for you. Because here's what you don't know. In another place, Jesus said, thou fool, this night your soul may be required of you. There's little graves. There's medium-sized graves. And there's adult-sized graves. Are you hearing me, church? You serve God when He calls you. When you hear the voice saying, come unto me, you better run to Him and say, I will go. I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. And I will make room in the manger of my heart.
Hallelujah, for a babe in Christ to be born in me. Oh, but I don't want to stay there. I want him to grow up in me. I want to grow up into the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to grow onward and upward in him. I want him to take me to Calvary and show me every stinking rotten thing in my flesh so that I might be crucified with Christ.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Your goodbyes to the world isn't going back and having one little fling. One more little thing. One more little deal. Well, let me just see one more thing, Lord. I really love you. I really want to follow you. I really want to. I make room, Lord. You're in my heart. I'm at a place in the manger, but oh, there's still a pool out there, Lord, that I got to go get satisfied. Oh, listen, I'm here to remind you, the only place you're ever going to find satisfaction for your soul is going to be in Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Oh, in the blood of the Lamb, there's still power. In the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, there's still redemption. There's still healing. There's still deliverance. Oh, can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Church, you better have burned every bridge. Hallelujah. I said you better have burned every bridge. When Jesus pulls you out of darkness, you better burn the bridge back to that place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, listen, how many of you know He's still working on you? Woo, He's still working on me. Oh, to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Oh, how loving and patient He must be. Oh, He's still working on me. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
How many of you relate to that song? Hallelujah. Church, as He's still working on you, reveals things in your life that are unlike Jesus, and you take them to the cross and crucify Him, you better burn that bridge. Don't go back there anymore.
Come on, that's right.
Yes.
Well, why? Because no man, having put his hand to the plow and then looks back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, Pastor, are you saying, no, here's what I'm saying. If He's helped you and delivered you, don't go back to that sin. I said, if He's helped you and delivered you, don't go back to that sin. If He's delivered you and set you free, burn that bridge. Don't go back there anymore. Hallelujah. Because the kingdom of God is not made for those who come to Jesus, run to the world. 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 No, the kingdom of God is made for those who got a mind that's made up. Oh, the kingdom of God is made up for those who said, I've burned all those bridges, devil, and I'm not going back.
Come on.
Right. Can somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You see, just like Mary and Joseph's day, something's always going to take place. I said, something's going to always try to take the place of making room for Jesus.
Yeah.
Let me take care of certain business first, Pastor. I've got to take care of the expectations of the world. You see, I have a job. You see, I've got to pay my taxes. You see, I've got to pay my bills. And you know my response to you? Yes, you should. Hallelujah. But you better make sure first that there's room for Jesus. Hallelujah. Because then He can help you take care of all those other things.
Amen.
You see, many times, even in today's world, our job, our taxes, our bills, the pressures, the cares of this life will begin to crowd in. And before we know it, there's no room left for Jesus in our inn. And then here's the other problem. Have you ever wondered? The Bible tells us in Luke, He said that every man had to go back to his place of birth. Hallelujah. Many people end up settling down in their life pretty close to the place they were born. Not always, but most of the time. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. I was born in Washington State. Somebody asked me yesterday, said, have you always been in Texas? I said, no, I was born in Washington, but I got here as fast as I could.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. And you know what? I've been born out of a new city called Jerusalem. Woo, hallelujah. And I'm trying to get there as fast and as well as I can. I can't wait to leave this whole world behind. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through.
Come on, brother. Come on. That's right.
While I'm here, I'll live in Texas. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory. Oh, but have you ever noticed? The Bible says, Brother Johnny, they went back to their place of birth. And I don't know about you, but the place where I was born, and most people, is the same. And where they're born, there's some family members there. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Have you wondered why Joseph and Mary, Brother Michael, had to end up staying in the stable? Don't you believe in the place where he was born? He had to have some family there? Oh, did you know that there had to have been at least a cousin, or an uncle, or an aunt, or some kind of extended family where he could have knocked on the doors? Hey, cuz, haven't seen you in 10 years, I know. But being the missus here, and she's great with child, kind of hard to miss. Oh, we need to have another room. Would you possibly have a place we could stay? Oh, but did you know sometimes that it is the family in your life that will never have a place for the Jesus in your life? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said sometimes it is the family in your life that will never have a place for the Jesus in your life.
Amen.
In fact, they're going to make sure you have no room, and you either love them, accept them, receive them, and with all of their sin, and never call them out on it, or they have no place for you. Ooh. You see, church, there were a lot of folks that had to run to Bethlehem that day. They had to be there. They were born there. Hallelujah. And you remember the day when you were born into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Church, we can be crowding into the house of God, but never take Jesus with us.
Amen.
We can all be running back to Bethlehem, the place where I first found Jesus. Something on me stole, and like lightning it went through me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy and took my fears away. And when I see old Satan, to him I always say, I am determined to hold out to the end. My Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. For I am determined to hold out to the end.
Woo! Yeah. Come on, man.
Many times we go back to the place where we were born, not earthly, heavenly. We go back into the presence and in the house of God. And when we're there, we have no place for Jesus in the end. There's so many cares of this life that have crowded out Bethlehem, and we leave Jesus in the stable. And then if it's not that, it's family that sometimes will get in our own way. It is family, it is those that you love the dearest. It is those sometimes that are the closest, that have such the potential and such the danger, church, if you're not careful, to drive out the Jesus in your life. Are you hearing me, church?
Amen.
Oh, I know Joseph and Mary, both being from the city of David, had somewhere in that old hometown kinfolks, but no one would make room for the Jesus in the life of Mary and Joseph. And I'm here to warn you, church, there's going to be family members who will have no place for the Jesus in you. Don't you despair. Hallelujah. If they kick Jesus out into the stable, I want you to go to the stable with Jesus. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll go live in a ditch with Jesus than to live in a mansion without Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that this morning? How many of you feel that way this morning? Jesus, I'll go live in a shack on the side of the road by the railroad tracks. I'll eat whatever gets thrown my way. I'll be a beggar. I just don't want to live without you, Jesus. I'll follow you whithersoever you go. I'd rather live on the side of a shack on a mountain than live without Jesus in a mansion. But so many people have traded Him, church. They've traded Him for the cares of this life, for the riches of this world, for the rudiments of this world, for the wisdom of this world. They've traded out the Jesus, pushed Him off to the stables so that they might be glorified and lifted up. And He stays humble in the stable. Oh, let me take care of certain business first, Pastor. I'm telling you, you better put Jesus first. I'm telling you, you better put Jesus first. There's going to come a day when every moment that you've spent, every effort that you've used, every trial that you've gone through, and it's because you're holding on with determination to always make sure that there's room for Jesus in the manger of your life, you will be so glad you did. Because He will repay it. He will repay it 100-fold for all the efforts that you've ever put in your life to choose Jesus again. He will repay it 100-fold, church. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Does anybody love Jesus this morning?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sometimes you'll be tested in your following Jesus with family who will not make room for the Jesus that you've allowed into the manger of your heart. They're going to expect you to accept their bad behavior, their sins, to go along, to get along, to look the other way, and they'll even tell you to stop being judgmental. And they'll tell you family must come first. No, church, Jesus must come first.
Amen.
You must love Him more than you love your wife. You must love Him more than you love your husband. You must love Him more than you love your sons and your daughters. You must love Him more than you love your aunts and your uncles and your nieces and your nephews, your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Jesus must come first.
Amen.
You must love Him above all else. He says, for if you don't, you're not worthy of Him. Do you know why, church? Because Jesus had a choice. And He loved you above all else. When you had no one to stand up for you, when you had no one to pay your price, you were headed to an eternal hell. He loved you above all else and said, take me instead. Take my blood instead. Take my life instead. I love them more than I love my own glory. And we get blessed with such a beautiful, glorious salvation, so rich and so free. And we're in the danger sometimes of putting Jesus in the stable so that we might be glorified. We love our glory. We love our gifts. We love our attention more than we love Jesus. You see, Jesus must come first. Mary and Joseph had to make room for Jesus when duty called. When the government called and said, pay your taxes, show up for the census. Mary and Joseph had to make room for Jesus in the middle of all of the duty that was called upon them in their life. Mary and Joseph still had to make room for Jesus somewhere, even when family in their hometown rejected them and they had nowhere to go. Mary and Joseph still had to make room for Jesus, even when their body ached and pain and suffering of bringing forth a child. And church, we've not suffered. We've really not suffered. Suffering is coming. Testing and trials are coming. Oh, hallelujah. You better get Jesus out of the stable. You better put Him where He belongs. In the center of every decision in your life. Don't play with God. Don't tell Him, let me live some of my life the way I want to live it first. And when I see things are getting really serious, and then you ought to already been getting serious. If you can't look around and see that we're living in the end of the days, if you can't look around and see, then you're asleep and you must be awakened.
Yeah.
Don't play with God. Don't play with the cross of Calvary. The yoke of the servant Jesus Christ the righteous was and still is today the cross of Calvary. And it is that cross that He uses with His yoke to plow up the fallow grounds of our hearts.
to those who say, oh, I've got to do this first, Pastor, and then I'm going to do this. No, you're failing to put Jesus first. You're failing to put His headship of His authority in your life. You're failing. And in your comments that you even say that, you're saying, I don't want your headship. I don't want your rulership. I don't want you to lie down in my manger. You ever wonder why Jesus talked about the foxes and the birds? You see, in the Scriptures, foxes and birds don't have good connotations. If you go into the Old Testament, you're going to find a verse that talks about it is the little foxes that spoils the vine. Church, there's a vine in your life, and that vine is Christ Jesus. And He desires to bring forth fruit in your life. It is the little foxes in your life. It is those little spirits, those little attitudes you allow to hang around. And they dig holes, they burrow holes in the bottom of the vine. And they'll kill the root, and it will not be able to bring forth any more fruit. And the birds of the air will come. The spirits, the birds of the air, they'll come and they'll build a nest in your vine. They'll build a little nest if you let them. You're not supposed to let those spirits build nests in your life. Jesus looked into the heart of that one man who was in the way, and He said, foxes have room in your life and birds have built nests in your life, but you have no room for me.
Uh-oh. Foxes will spoil the vine. They've got holes to live in your life that you allowed them to dig. Birds of the air, those spirits, they've got room. They've built their nest so much into your life, that's all you hear flooding around in your head. Oh, but Lord, I know if I will just make room for You, as You are growing up in me, You're going to take me to that place called Calvary so that my will, my wants, my pleasures, my ways, my little hang-ups have to be nailed to that wooden yoke called the cross. Does He have a place for His head this morning in your life? Is there a place in your end? Or have the cares of this life crowded Him out? Have the worries about what your family thinks? And your relationship with Jesus, has it caused you to change the way you speak when you're around them? Has it caused you to not say things that you would say in defense of Christ and of His cross? And is there so many things that are still hidden in the corners of your life that you feel like you still have a connection to the world, that you cannot let that go, so that the Lord Jesus Christ can fully rule and reign in your life this morning? Then you need to let those things go. Hallelujah. Pastor, I've got pressing things to do. What could be more pressing than following the King of Kings? What could be more pressing than following the Lord of Lords? What more treasure could you ask for when you hear His quiet, beautiful voice asking you if He can lay down His authority and His headship in your life? If every one of us would realize what was being offered to us each and every day when we heard that voice calling for a place to lay more of His rulership and headship, we would run to the place of a humble stable, and we would offer up our hearts of stone. And we say, Lord, come lay down in my cold, stony heart and give me again a fresh, new heart of flesh. Oh, Lord, a soft heart, Lord, one that is yielded to You. Because when Your authority lays down in our stony hearts, You soften it and give us a heart of flesh. You give us a heart to be plowed by the cross of Calvary, so that more seeds of beautiful truth can be planted and can bring forth beautiful fruit in our life. Would you bow your heads? I don't know where you are this morning in your life. Only God knows the hearts of men. But I do know this. He gave me this message for you. And He's saying, please make room for me. You're going to need me in the times that are coming. You're going to need me so much more than even that you have of me now. Would you make more room? Would you push out some of those things that really don't matter? Make room for me now so that I can be there for you when you need me the most. Church, he's not selfish. He's not asking you for those things so that he might gain something from it. He's asking you to do those things so that you might gain something from it. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. What a loving, loving Savior. What could be more pressing than following the King of Kings? Oh, hallelujah. Another little children's song. We've taught children when they were little. I want to close with that. And while I sing this song, if you know that you've heard those three times Jesus calling into your life, don't reject Him. The altars are open. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear, we are already saved. He's already there. Who wouldn't want to come to Him as we hear Him calling? Come in today. Come in today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come on, He's calling. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in. Lord Jesus.